In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, May 28th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Iranian pastor Victor Bet-Tumraz is having a hard time finding a lawyer who will represent him in court. The former leader of the Tehran Pentecostal Assyrian Church was arrested at his home last Christmas and is awaiting trial. He is accused of participating in an illegal gathering. Lawyers are hesitant to represent Christians in Iran for fear of backlash. 10 Nigerian Christians lost their lives at the hands of the terrorist group Boko Haram in the Pamula Kwamde area earlier this week. All of them are from the Church of the Brethren, according to the Morning Star News. After years of relentless attacks from the Muslims, only 900 of the 2,300 Brethren churches remain intact in Nigeria. The International Soccer League, FIFA, is looking more like an international criminal cartel after an investigation on the part of the U.S. Department of Justice. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced a 47-count indictment against the organization Wednesday, including charges of racketeering, money fraud, and money laundering.
They were expected to uphold the rules that keep soccer honest and to protect the integrity of the game. Instead, they corrupted the business of worldwide soccer. All of these defendants abused the U.S. financial system and violated U.S. law, and we intend to hold them accountable.
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy 6:10. Court-martialed for a Bible verse? Lance Corporal Monifa Sterling posted Isaiah 54:17 on her computer, and, as a result, she's been convicted at a court-martial hearing. So far, she has lost one appeal, and Liberty Institute is appealing again under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This isn't the first case of persecution for Christians in the military. According to Douglas Lee with the Chaplain Alliance for Religious Liberty, the conditions are much tougher today for Christians in the military.
I'd be more cautious today than I was, let's say, 10 years ago. I've been retired now 7 years. Military has changed in those 7 years. If a man, young man comes to me, we talk about the secular nature of the military these days. That did not have to be done 10 years ago and past. I want to encourage a man to really be thinking about how he would handle challenges that might come his way.
What was that problematic verse for the United States military anyway? No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Former Senator Rick Santorum is officially in the 2016 presidential race on Wednesday. He joins the ranks of other conservatives, Senator Ted Cruz, Mike Huckabee, and Dr. Ben Carson. Santorum is calling for an increase in the minimum wage. He wants to fight radical Islam and, quote, put an end to the IRS as we know it, unquote. Senator Marco Rubio told CBN that Christians are facing the, quote, real and present danger, unquote, of their basic confessions interpreted as hate speech. The California State Assembly has voted to force pro-life pregnancy centers to inform their clients on abortion accessibility and available subsidies. Pro-life volunteers in those centers would do well to remember the midwives during the days of the Pharaoh who ordered them to throw the Jewish boys in the Nile River to drown. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. The Nebraska State Legislature has rejected the death penalty for murder. The legislature overrode the governor's veto on Wednesday to become the 19th state in America to oppose Genesis 9:6, which says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." And that ruling came from a higher jurisdiction. The Environmental Protection Agency plans to control every ditch, every tributary, every impression that can hold water on every piece of property in America. That's the intent of the Waters of the United States rule, soon to be released by the Obama administration. Ranchers and farmers are especially concerned. The real problem? Proverbs 28:2 clarifies, When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. Nashville schools will offer classes in Arabic for Muslim immigrants starting this September. The Tennessean reports the classes will be offered in junior high and senior high schools. But here's the more important question. Will they teach the United States Constitution and the Bible in Arabic? A doctor in Canada has invented a bionics lens that he believes will provide eyesight 3 times better than 20/20 vision. Clinical trials are in process, and inventor Dr. Garth Webb hopes it will be available for the mass market in just 2 years. An 11-year-old homeschooled boy is graduating this May from college with 3 degrees in math, science, and foreign language studies. Tanishq Abraham gets his diplomas from American River College in Sacramento, California. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, May 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Third generation home educators. Steve Vaughn also in studio with us today. And Steve, we're going to talk about something that's a little more sensitive than your average topic. But wow, the Duggar story has really taken off. Yeah. I think I've counted 100 stories, media stories, that have attended the admission that Josh Duggar had sexual issues when he was 13, 14 years of age. And he's confessed it, and he's got his confession out there for everybody to read. The confession's not as interesting as the sin, of course, and to be expected. The world hates them. I think that's pretty obvious. Chicago Tribune talks about the Duggars' dangerous cult of purity. And the Duggars, 19 and counting, was at the Zenith. This is the program, the reality show that was playing on TLC. They were at their zenith. They were doing better than I think they've ever done before. And so the timing on this, the break of this, was, I think, critical to bringing them down. It appears the advertisers are cutting sponsorships with TLC. General Mills, Payless, and Choice Hotels have cut their advertising as of yesterday. I don't think we've ever watched an episode of 19 and Counting. Have you?
We've seen like part of one, but I'm not into TV, especially reality or sub-reality or altered reality TV, because none of reality TV is reality anyway.
No,
it's scripted.
No, you're right. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the general perspectives on this issue. And it doesn't matter what you say about the Duggars, you're going to be attacked. No matter what any Christian says about the Duggars, you will be mocked by the liberals. Because the liberals have hated the Duggars from the very beginning, and they will admit that. They will say, we have hated the Duggars from the very beginning. And I think they might even admit the reasons why they hated the Duggars. The reason they hated the Duggars was because the Duggars did not take birth control. I think that's a simple explanation for why they hate the Duggars. They hate the Duggars because the world is into killing babies, and they kill a lot of them. Okay, so please understand that.
The world has been into killing babies since roughly 1960, and even before that. But they've got the chemicals that can do it. They've got the technology that can do it.
They've gotten better at it.
They've gotten way better at killing babies than ever before. And the world has killed billions of babies since 1960, thanks to abortion, the abort-efficient birth control pill. And because of that, the world doesn't want anybody to tell them not to kill babies. So if somebody out there is intimating that it might be wrong to kill babies, to use the abort-efficient birth control pill, in which X percent of babies are killed every year, it's hard to know exactly what that percentage is. And if the world is feels that there's anybody out there judging them or saying that there's something wrong with killing babies, or there's something wrong with having sex with anything out there, anything that moves and doesn't move, if there's any kind of a sense that somebody is establishing a moral absolute relating to their sexuality, they're not going to like that very much at all, because the world is into this thing called sin, and they certainly don't want anybody to refer to any of these things as sin. Now, as it turns out, the Duggars are sinners. And I think you're going to find that there's a lot of people around the world that are sinners. In fact, I think you're going to find that it pretty much affects 100% of every human being out there. And that's biblical as well. It's another part of the Christian theological perspective of things.
Even you, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's Romans 3.
Okay. So the halo just went away.
Yeah. It's gone. So, but no matter what anybody says about the Duggars, he's going to be mocked by the liberals. Everybody's saying something nice, or anybody saying something nice is skewered by the liberals. And so we're not going to say a lot of things about the Duggars today.
So what are we not going to say?
Well, we're not going to say a lot of things. We're not going to say that Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Okay. We're not going to say that. We're not going to say that. One of the reasons we're not going to say that is because that's really messed up. That's rotten theological statement right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. That sort of separates justification and sanctification, and I don't like the separation justification and sanctification myself. So that's intimated in the statement, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's true, but what it implies is that there is a radical separation between justification, sanctification, and faith and repentance. So theologically, we don't really like that, so we're not going to say. It's one thing we're not going to say about the Duggars today. We're not going to say that Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. We're not going to say that.
Okay, good.
Okay. Another thing we're not going to say is that incest is worse than homosexuality. We're not going to say that.
They're about the same, aren't
they? We're not going to say that.
Alrighty.
We're not going to say any of that. We're not going to say that repenting of sin is better than not repenting of sin. Okay. We're not going to say it. It's not something else we're not going to say on this edition of the program.
I am glad we're not saying that.
And we're not saying that. We're not going to say that humble, repentant sinners will go home justified rather than the proud, unrepentant homosexuals. Okay, I'm referring to the publican and the Pharisee there at the temple. Okay. We're not going to say that the humble, repentant sinner is going to go home justified rather than the proud gay thing.
Right. So, okay. So gay pride.
Right.
We're not going to say that.
We're not going to say that most children sin, or that all children sin, or that all of us sin, or that some teens commit fornication, or that a lot of teens commit fornication. We're not going to get any of the stats on this.
Yeah.
We're not going to say any of that. We're not going to say that incest is a capital crime in some cases, and we're not going to tell you in which cases incest is a capital crime as defined by scripture. So we wouldn't say that.
All right.
We're not going to say that the Duggars should have reported the problem to a different police officer, a different judge, and different church elders, and. We're not going to be Monday morning quarterbacking this. Okay. We're not going to do that either. We're not going to say that the Duggars can be more real now after all their sins are out there for the public to see, and that's just going to make for a better reality show. We're not going to say that either.
Good.
And we're certainly not going to say that the whole sexual revolution with all its millions of manifestations was a really good idea. We're not going to say that either.
That's a good thing.
Not going to say that. Nope.
Alrighty.
Nope. And we're not going to say that the American conservative Christianity is in really solid shape. You know, solid to the core. Solid to the core.
Yeah, America's church, that's got to be one of the strongest churches in the world, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a little tongue-in-cheek here, and we're not going to tell you how much and where. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Be back in just a moment, friends. From the Generations Radio Broadcast, we have some general comments, general things to say about what's happening with the Duggars. Be back in just a moment. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those important relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with building those relationships. Here's an opportunity for you. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this September. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio Program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions like wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. It all happens September 3rd to the 6th at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com.
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, host with you. Generations with Vision is part of the parent organization Christian Home Educators of Colorado. And we should say that Christian Home Educators of Colorado invited the Duggars to be part of the CHEC conference coming up here in June. And the jury's out as to whether or not they will appear. We have not yanked the invitation to them, and for several reasons. One is because forgiveness is part of the Christian language. Now, the world does not understand forgiveness at all, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. And in terms of who sinned where and who's been forgiven of what, we don't want to get into some of these details. But we do want to say that forgiveness is part of the Christian life. And if you're not into forgiving others, and you don't really want to forgive others, then you're going to have a really hard time on Judgment Day.
Yeah, it seems like Jesus mentioned something about that right after he gave the what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, that if you do not forgive, then it won't be forgiven of you either.
Well, you remember the unforgiving servant who wouldn't forgive the debts of the lesser servant.
Oh, yeah.
And in the process, his master threw him out into the tormentors because he was willing to forgive him. But this man was not willing to forgive his fellow servant. And for that reason, he was thrown out into the torments. And that, I take to be something related to hellfire destruction forever. So, you know, if you don't want things to go well for you on Judgment Day, then don't be of a forgiving spirit. Don't forgive others. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. And I think we all need to keep that in mind. Now, the world doesn't understand forgiveness, and the reason for that is because the world does not accept the notion of sin.
Right.
And that somehow we have sinned against God, we owe God a gigantic debt, and God forgives us this gigantic debt in Jesus Christ. That's the part they don't believe it from the very beginning. They don't want to believe that there is a God to whom they are morally accountable, and they don't want to believe that they have sinned against God. That's the very last thing they want to believe, because if they were to believe that, they would have to plead for forgiveness. They would have to fall on their face before God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, as the publican did. And the proud homosexuals, the proud sinners, certainly do not want to do that. But forgiveness plays an important part of a Christian life. And Steve, we need to be willing to forgive others. Now, it's not to say that there ought not to be repentance along the way as well, and a restoration of relationship within the body. It's also not to say that the civil magistrate ought not to act. I think the civil magistrate ought to act in cases of criminal activity, whether it be sexual crimes or whether it be the robbing of banks or whatever it is. Somebody kills somebody else, he ought to be taken to the civil magistrate, and the civil magistrate ought to rule according to the laws of God. But in the, at the same time, our brothers and sisters within the church need to be willing to forgive somebody who has even committed crimes.
Yeah,
and comes to the church and says, "I'm begging for forgiveness of God. I'm asking for restoration within the body. I want to be restored to the church." That restoration ought to happen with the brothers and sisters in the church.
Yeah, and I think what happens within the church is that a lot of people within the church don't understand forgiveness either, because they're thinking that forgiveness means that either they got away with it, or you're saying, well, okay, it really wasn't that bad, or that, oh, no, that's no problem. But the whole point of forgiveness is that there was a problem, that there was hurt, there was a sin. To forgive somebody, if you go back to the parable that you mentioned about the wicked servant, was that the king released him from the debt. That means the debt was paid by somebody. It was paid by the king, just like with us. And so it doesn't mean that something didn't happen. Something did happen that was painful and hurtful. You're releasing them from my ability then to repay you and turning them over to God, for God to repay. We don't know their hearts, but God does. And so if they think that they're getting away with it just by asking for forgiveness, but there is no heart change, God deals with that.
And thankfully, Jesus Christ provides the debt payment for us, the redemption payment for us, and
Amen.
Redeems us from that debt slavery. And that's, of course, the story of the Christian gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so a couple of the general perspectives on issues like this, and I think the obvious thing is that we ought to pray for the Duggars and love the Duggars. That's important too. That's a Christian thing to do. Now, the world doesn't. It's obvious. You know, you can tell the world, or you can tell Christians, as you read all of the comments on these stories, and don't read too many of them. There's a lot of foul language attached to this. And that's because there's so much hatred towards the Duggars. But even if you hate the Duggars, let's take somebody out there who may hate the Duggars, okay? Because the Duggars have despitefully used them. I don't know if anybody has. But even the people who hate the Duggars should love the Duggars and pray for the Duggars, even if the Duggars have despitefully used them, because that's the words of Christ. Now, I realize that the Huffington Post probably wouldn't do that, because Huffington Post doesn't love their enemies. They don't really want to follow the words of Christ. So, but the point is that I think everybody, no matter who you are, no matter whether you agree or disagree with the Duggars on this issue or that issue, you ought to love the Duggars, and you ought to pray for the Duggars, too, because they're going through some tough times right now. And certainly if they're having to deal with sin in their lives, as the rest of us have to deal with sin in our lives, pray for them that God would have mercy on them, and that God would provide His forgiveness and His love for them as well. Okay, so now, pray for the Duggars, love the Duggars. Another point I think we ought to make is that sin is bad, and this is something you referred to.
Yeah.
Sin is bad because God says it's bad, not because the Huffington Post thinks it's bad. Or not because some huffy feminist with an attitude says it's bad, or because some evolutionist says it's bad. When matter in motion rubs up against another piece of cosmic dust, that's really bad, according to some evolution. Well, why? See, there's a discontinuity in the materialistic, naturalistic view of things. And so if these feminists, these evolutionists, believe that we are nothing but pieces of cosmic dust, and one piece of cosmic dust rubs up against another piece of cosmic dust, or shoots a hole in the other piece of cosmic dust using a rifle or something like that, then my question is, why? Why in a universe of pure chance where everything is just matter in motion, why in the world is that wrong? See, you have a lot of people on the internet seem very, very uptight about something that happened in the Duggar family. Now, why? I guess my question is why? On what basis do they call these things sin? Now, they don't use the word sin for some reason. I don't know why not. But they seem to be very, you know, morally upset with these Duggars for something that happened within the Duggar family. My question, again, is why? Why are they so upset? Now, from my worldview perspective, I've got a reason to call this wrong. I have a reason to call sin, sin. And the reason is established by God Himself, because He is the source of all that is good. He is the very definition of truth. He's the very definition of what is right and what is wrong. So I have a basis for absolutes. They don't. Sin is very bad. Very, very bad. And whatever Josh Duggar did, as defined by his own confession, was very, very bad.
Yeah.
But again, why is it very bad? Because God says it's very bad. And here's another indication of the evil, the pure,
undiluted evil of this sin, and that is what the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, took on that cross when he died on that cross for our sins. He did it because of the holiness of God and the egregious nature of that sin.
Yeah, you want to see what God the Father thinks of sin, look to the Son on the cross. And he, beaten beyond even the recognition of being a human, beard ripped out, mm-hmm. tortured beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God thinks of sin, all sin, yeah. not just this one.
And sin has consequences, repercussions, because God is holy. And he will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. So if you look at all the disease, the death, the issues, the breakdown of relationships, the long-term pain and agony that's caused by sins, that's because sin is a very egregious, wicked thing in the eyes of God. And we read in Scripture, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There are consequences.
Yeah.
And people suffer consequences, temporally, as well as eternally. Now, some of the temporal consequences may be relieved, and all of the eternal consequences are relieved
for those
by way
who,
of right the yeah. sacrifice of Christ for those who believe in Jesus Christ.
Right. Right. But for those who don't, you know, and that's one of the other things that I think we see in society is that they only believe in the temporal. That's why they want to leave murderers on death row to suffer and, you know, to think about what they did for the rest of their lives, because once they die, that's it. But the thing is that there is a very real heaven and there's a very real hell where there will be punishment forever, because when you offend an eternal God, there is eternal consequences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not pointing the finger directly towards any particular person when it comes to this next statement I'm going to make, and certainly the Duggars are not leaders in the modern church. But I think what we're seeing in general across America, Steve, is the last remnants of American conservative fundamentalist religiosity fading away. Now, as it turns out, in my past, my father was raised out in Indiana and Ohio, and I think what we could call the hotbed of American fundamentalist religiosity in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. But in the 1970s, my father completely abandoned all of that. That American externalistic religiosity, my father noted it for what it really was, and it didn't have much to do with historic Christianity. It didn't actually have a whole lot to do with the Word of God. And my father noticed that. He just could tell. He was comparing with what he was seeing with what the Word of God actually taught. And the church fathers, guys like Augustine, Akempis, Luther, Calvin, the Puritans, etc. You know, he looks at 1800 years of Christianity, compares it to the breakdown of Christianity in the West. I'm not just talking about the liberal mainstream stuff. I'm talking about the fundamentalist, superficial American religiosity, sort of the conservative end of things. That kind of thing is fading away. And I tie this in all the time. The highest porn download rates in America, Utah and Mississippi. Why? Because Utah and Mississippi have the highest church attendance rates. Baptist churches in Mississippi, Mormon churches in Utah. So it makes perfect sense when you know, when you find out that the highest porn download rates in America happen to be in Utah and Mississippi. So my father understood there was something very, very lacking, something very powerless about the group that doesn't dance, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do. There's something very weak about that. Now, again, let me say that one more time. There's something very powerless about this religious group in America that doesn't dance, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do. Now, one of the problems, of course, is the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about dancing, drinking, or chewing, except to say that there is the drinking of alcohol and the dancing that appears in weddings in the New Testament. References made by Jesus Christ himself. Okay, now, again, friends, there's something very powerless, very, very powerless about this conservative American fundamentalist religiosity that didn't dance, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away, get away from them. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Yeah, and see, the power, when you're talking about those things, you're thinking the power comes from myself. But, you know, Paul realized what the secret really was, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who is my strength. And so unless your strength comes from Christ and through Christ, then you have no power.
Yeah.
He is life in us and through us. And so if I'm trying to live by that maxim, you know, that I don't, you know, smoke, drink, or chew and go with girls who do, then I'm relying upon my own self-discipline. But it's not that. It is discipline through Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
There are so many things wrong with this. Of course, it abandons the whole concept of biblical law and what the Bible actually said. They forget all about that, and their externalistic fences they build, they forget all about what the Bible said originally about what is right and wrong. And secondly, they lose the core of Christ. And this core-less Christianity is Christ-less Christianity, where Christ as prophet, priest, and king, Christ as the Redeemer is lost. And love for God is somehow radically separated from the daily walking with the Lord and walking in his commandments. That loving God, that relational element, is somehow ripped away from the keeping his commandments. And of course, never ever separated in Scripture. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's a two for one. You're going to have both. You got to have both. And this externalistic thing that loses Jesus Christ as the very center is a powerless form of Christianity. And I think what's happening right now, Steve, is that this thing is just dissolving into full-fledged apostasy, antinomianism, and atheism. Or you have a segment that is reforming into an historic biblical Christianity. The fake stuff is going away for good. I think within the homeschool, Christian discipleship, Christian parenting movement, guys like Ted Tripp abandoned that whole externalistic behavioral modification approach to child raising in the 1990s. And I'm thankful for his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. It was a very important shift to a more biblical approach, a Christ-centered approach, where we're not going to separate out obedience from faith. We're not going to separate out discipleship from evangelism for our kids. We're not going to teach our kids to obey first, and later we'll get on to the issue of their relationship with Jesus. We're not going to separate those things out from the time that they're 6 months old. Manners and moralisms without Christ as prophet, priest, and king at the core of it has been utterly devastating. The separation of justification and sanctification, as I mentioned, leaving the modern adherent with a faithless sanctification and a works-based justification. And sometimes you get this displacement of the sovereignty of God, where we think that as parents, if we push certain buttons, we're going to get a certain result. Just do this. And a lot of the child-raising material that came out of the 1960s and 70s and 80s was filled with, and I see this within the homeschool market, it was filled with this recipe orientation, this formulaic approach. If you push these buttons, if you will do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, you'll get this result. And in this way, we turned man into the sovereign. Fathers became sovereign. God was not. Fathers could force children to obey by pure willpower, manipulating the environment of the child such to produce a certain result. Man was in control of his own salvation, can manipulate it from the outside in. And that, my friends, is diametrically opposed to a biblical view of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, Jacob and Esau were raised by the same parents. And it wasn't as if somehow Esau turned out lousy because he wasn't given the right childhood training program. He wasn't taught the Ezo approach. He wasn't taught the Gothard approach. No. The reason why Esau was rejected is because God simply said, I chose Jacob. And God's sovereignty in salvation is important. I know it's largely neglected by the American religious community. But until parents get on their faces before God and cry out in prayer for God's mercy upon their children and understand that ultimately it's in the hands of God and the Holy Spirit of God must radically work in our children's hearts, if that's not a basic part of our children, or of our raising of our children, friends, we have a wrong perspective of child raising. We begin to put ourselves in the driver's seat. We begin to see ourselves as the sovereign in the salvation of our kids, and that has been devastating, utterly devastating. It's created an externalistic approach to religion, and it has resulted, I think, in a lot of fake religion.
Yeah. So what do we do? You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And so if you're out gossiping and being bitter and, you know, just being loud and angry and being malicious, that needs to be put away in terms of this and in everything. But if that's where you find yourself gossiping and backbiting, that needs to be put away. And we need to be tenderhearted. Yes, this hurts. It hurts the church. It hurts the view of the church. But we need to forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. We have been forgiven, and we have that huge debt against our King. This is one of those, you know, as big as it seems, this is one of those little 100 denarii debts that we need to put into the hands of God.
And the good news here, Steve, is I think something very real is appearing with the church. We're beginning to get back to the gospel again, and sin, or the recognition of sin within ourselves, within our kids, constantly forces us back to the understanding of who we are and our desperate need for Jesus Christ. And anytime we begin to see that we are in desperate need of God's sovereign salvation in our lives, we're in desperate need of Jesus and his blood and his righteousness covering us. If we come to this position, then we're back to core. Back to core, and I think that's really critical. The world is excited about conservative Christianity dying out, but what's dying out is a hollow, superficial, externalistic form. Jesus Christ is Lord of his church, and his church is developing something real, something true, something substantial is developing out of this, and I'm excited about what could happen over the next 10, 15, 20 years within the homeschool population, within whatever remains of a biblical Christianity. Victorian Christianity was conservative, but only a thin moralistic veneer was there in the 1800s. And I think they had already abandoned much of the atonement of Christ. They rejected the depravity of man or the innocency of children. Faith in Christ was very, very squishy in the latter part of the 19th century. And I think even among homeschoolers, they've tried to revive some of that old Victorian stuff from the 1870s, 1880s, and 1890s and perpetuated the same hollow Christianity. But let's get back to the core. And the core is we need the atonement of Jesus Christ. We need the redemption of Christ at the cross. We need to tie in the relevance of Jesus Christ every day. And anytime we begin to see that our children are sinners and we are sinners, that's a wonderful opportunity to bring back the gospel and the purpose for Jesus and his grand redemption. And that's really the core issue today. On this edition of the Generations broadcast, we're getting back to the core need for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 21st century as once again Christianity shows its power and its importance and its relevance in the lives of people who need that salvation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world. At kevinswanson.com. This is fundraising month for the Generations Radio broadcast. Encourage you, if you are encouraged by this program, to support the program by committing for $10 a month, $20 a month, or $100 a month to keep this program on the air for yet another year. As it turns out, General Mills and Payless and Choice Hotels have chosen not to support this program. They're not supporting the Duggars, and they're not supporting us either. So, we're encouraging anybody who feels that this program is valuable to support us by your donations. Go to our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com, and click on Donate Today. All donations are tax deductible. This is the Generations Radio broadcast, and this is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.